God is good, and we thank him so much for blessing us to be here to worship his great name. Do you love God? I really love the Lord. Sing it like you mean it. Yes, I really love the Lord and you. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love. Oh, I love him. I really love the Lord. He watches over me. And he watches over me. Oh, yes, he watches. Yes, he does. And you don't know what it's
done for me.
Oh, yes, he
gave me love.
Yes, and that's why I love. Oh, I love him. Ah, you sound good. The Lord. And you don't know what it's done for
me.
Oh, yes, he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love. Yes, I love him. I really love the Lord. Amen. Amen. If you are visiting with us this morning, you're truly an honored guest, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. If you're watching by way of television, thank you for tuning in. We hope that you stay with us for a few moments that we can speak about God to you this morning. And we hope that we can minister to you this morning. If you have a question, if you have a prayer request, if you need to talk to someone, call the number on your screen, and we would love to talk to you this morning. God is so wonderful and so good. And we just thank him for blessing us to be here today to worship our great God. This is the day the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us be glad in it. We have been studying on a lesson series we entitled the Jesus Examination Series. And we're in lesson number 4, but I want to defer this morning just a little bit this morning. You look in your bulletin. I think I left my bulletin on. You look in the bulletin. Today we will. Thank you, Brother Benny. Today we will. After service, we will honor our graduates, our 2016 graduates. We take them to dinner. The church sponsors a congratulatory meal for our graduates and their families. And we don't give a lesson, a talk there at the dinner. We just eat and basically introduce the graduates. And I want to give a message this morning that will hopefully not only speak to our graduates, but to all of us. To all of us, those who would dare listen to God. And I've entitled the lesson this morning, Wise Counsel from God. Wise Counsel from God. The proverb writer wrote in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And of course, I believe in the Word of God, and I believe in the Bible, and I believe that God is saying to us, see, all knowledge begins with the fear of God. And then he goes on to say, fools despise wisdom and instruction. And I don't know, you don't ever like to, well, I don't like to call people a fool. The Bible says don't call a brother a fool. That's that's what it says. But the Bible does identify who the fools are. Amen, somebody. And see, you know, before you call somebody a fool, you need to look first in the mirror. But one of the identifying marks of a fool is that a fool won't listen to anybody. They despise wisdom. And see, really, if you think about it, everything that you've learned from somebody else. Amen. And to despise wisdom and despise instruction, that's Bible says that's a sign of a fool. And I selected some jewels I believe are wise counsel, not just for the graduates, but for all of us, anybody that would dare listen to God. And there are many, and of course I don't have time to cover them all, but I just want to hit a few and take my seat this morning. The first one is this. The scripture would teach us to be faithful in small things, little things. To be faithful in small things. Listen to the word of God. I hope you were listening when Brother DeCour read the passage from Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Everybody's all right this morning? Wake up now. I know it's early, but wake up. Wake up. Let's pray for those in Florida. That's one reason sometime on Sunday morning I don't like to turn the TV on. And my wife turned it on, and I just let's pray for those families. Pray for those families, Lord have mercy. Says, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you have been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you? And then read verse 12. Listen to verse 12. And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? And this is Jesus talking. And Jesus often spoke in parables. And he made simple. He made simple, profound truths. And here he's making a statement. And he's saying, listen, and I would say to all of us, every last one of us, see, you know, all of us want a measure of achievement in life. And we like to be recognized, and we want to be noticed, and we want to be significant in whatever, whether it's our work fields, whether it's on our social fields, whether it's in the Lord's church, and especially to our young people, especially to those who are at that age, that there is so much before us and so much that is ahead. You know, some of us, when we get out of our situations of high school and perhaps college, you know, we may have to, we start our beginning and we want everything. But some of us might have to start off at entry level jobs. Yeah, you may have to start off somewhere that you not necessarily want to stay and want to be. And some of us, we even as we get grown, we have to regroup and start over. Amen. All over. And if you don't watch out, you'll let your pride get in your way. And you think something is beneath you, and you'll despise something that you call little, and you will miss God's blessing. Looking for something that's too big. And Jesus gives it to us. And he says, listen, if you're not going to be faithful over a little thing, then how are you going to be faithful over something that we call even significant? And there's just so much truth in that. It's just life experiences teach us that. And I just hope, you know, as we get older, we realize that, you know, some things that my dad, my parents would try to teach us, I didn't know what they were doing and until I got older. You know, my dad, we sweeping the floor, cutting the grass, and he look at, you know, you sweeping and you leave little stuff in the corner, and he says, son, say that you call that sweeping? He says, look at all of that little, and I'm looking, trying to find what is he talking about? You know, you see little specks here and little specks there, and I'm thinking, there's nothing wrong with leaving a little speck. He says, son, you need to sweep all of that up. And little did I know that he was trying to teach me a lesson. Back then, if you're going to do something, son, do it right. And because, see, notice, because God notices the little. People notice, people, you know, sometimes on our jobs, they'll say, pay attention to the details. Sweat the details because details are the thing. See, everybody's going to do some things, want to do something that we think everybody is seeing. And I just say, Lord, have mercy. Help us to do the little things right. Because you watch a person. You watch a person who's faithful over something that's small. Because it's significant to our character. You know, when we get on these jobs, you on an entry-level job, do it right. Yeah, you be on time for your job. Amen. Can I say that? Amen. Yeah, be on time. See, 2 minutes late is still... Amen, somebody. Now watch out now. Watch out when you hear all of this. Because, see, sometimes we can get this, and I call it the employee mentality, although we all are employees to somebody. We, even when we have our own business, you're working for somebody. But don't get this mentality that, you know, you just want to do enough to get by. Yeah, because see, when you can tell when you had that employee mentality, a few minutes don't mind, but see, the boss man wants you to be on time because you late, you might miss. I remember I drove, I won't even call a store's name. I drove up to a store and I was in a hurry and I was trying to get there before it closed. And I'm telling you, I got there. It was 5 minutes to closing time. And I was in a hurry. I had something to do. I knew what I wanted. I knew how much I knew it was already there. If I could just get in there to buy it. And I got there 5 minutes in time. And I was walking up to the door. And I saw this young lady. She locked the door. And she said, we close. And I pointed to, I don't wear watches, but I pointed to my wrist. I said, 5 minutes, you got 5 minutes. And she, you know what, she didn't even wait for me to, she put that wig closed and just turned her head and walked away. And I was so hot and so mad because I said, you know, what I was going to buy probably would have paid her salary for a whole day. And though it might have been small to her, that 5 minutes didn't matter to the boss man, 5 minutes was everything. A lot of times we miss our opportunities when we are not attentive to things we call small. And it may be small to us, you know. Listen to what Jesus said. Let me give you a small matter. Listen to Luke chapter 22, verse number 8, Luke 22, 8. And Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare the Passover for us so that we may eat it. Told them, you go and prepare the Passover. Of course, those that were Jews knew what the Passover was. And it took preparation to get it ready. Now, Peter, this is the same Peter who preached the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost. He's the same Peter that his name is most of the time mentioned first when they mention all of the apostles. He's that Peter that Jesus told, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall prevail against it. But he told Peter, you go and you prepare. What is preparing the Passover? You have to get the lamb, whatever they want to eat. You have to get the unleavened bread. You have to find a place. You say that may be small details, and some of us, even when we read this, we never thought about how much time it takes to prepare this. And see, listen, you see our bread and our cups and right in front of us, the communion is, it. Somebody had to prepare it. We come in here and we take of the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day, and we just take for granted. Many times things are just done. They just appeared. It just appeared on the table. But somebody had to get here early and do this little thing, as some of us would call it. But to God, little things are big things. And Jesus, God watches every step, everything that we do. Jesus, he lays down this profound principle, this life principle. He didn't name what all the things were. But you know what people label as little, small things, behind the scene things. Everybody wants to be seen. And as we go about our lives, as we take care of business, do things right, be on time. When you give your word, keep your word. Keep your word. Don't callously throw around, "I'll do this," and don't do it. You might think nobody remembers, but they do. And when you go and start working on a job, do your job. Stop worrying about what everybody else is doing and do your job. Don't be lazy on your job. Do what thus, what you, whatever your hand, whatever you say you're going to do in life, be faithful in small things. And you know what? When we're faithful in small things, the Lord's going to bless us. He's going to bless us with big things. Jesus even said it in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And it may seem small. But a lot of folk in life miss opportunity. When you are looking for a good carpenter, when you're looking for a good carpenter, go see some work that he done. Go see some work that he's done, and you see that he hangs the door. What I want to see is did he get all his angles straight? I want to see the small things. Does his joints connect in the right manner? Look at the small thing. If he takes care of that, he'll take care of the big things. Yes, number two is this. Wise counsel from God is to be diligent with your gift. Be diligent with your gift. Be diligent with your gift. The scriptures use that word diligent. Diligence uses it several times in scripture, especially in the book of Proverbs. You know, one of the reasons why many of us even in life, young and old, is we give up too fast. Yeah, we give up, and many times we forget. We give up when we're on the verge of achievement, on the verge of success, of a verge of accomplishment. Proverbs writer wrote in Proverbs 12 and 24, "The hand of the diligent will rule." That's what the scriptures say. The hand of the diligent will rule. The word diligent, it means constant in effort. It means attentive and persistent in the pursuit of accomplishing something. It's consistent. It's a work ethic. It's an hour. It's a work. It's a do it till you get the job done. You will never regret finishing something. But many of us often regret quitting something. And he says, be diligent. He says again in Proverbs 10:4, "Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." No, it is not just rich in material blessing. We're talking about being persistent and attentive, and it does require energy. He says in Proverbs 21, verse 5, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty." One of the things that I used to hear is don't be in such of a hurry. That stop trying these get rich quick schemes. Yeah, you got a lot of schemes out there. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being ambitious and wanting to be efficient in what we do. But you get in too big a hurry, you're going to make a whole lot of mistakes. The scriptures would say the plans of the diligent lead to surety. And so the advice for us, the wise counsel, once we decide something is worth it, and I would suggest and advise that, you know, don't just jump into something saying, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to be diligent about it. You research it. But once you decide what you are going to do, stick to the task. And many times that's the difference between someone who achieves and someone who does not. Oftentimes it's not talent. Yes, some people are talent. It's not talent. One man, he wrote this. He said, I know no such thing as genius. Genius is nothing but labor and diligence. William Hogarth said that. And it's just simply say, you know a lot of smart, you know a lot of folk who have a whole lot of talent, but they are lazy as they can be. And they have not accomplished anything in life. And it's a shame when you see somebody who has the ability, but they don't have the diligence. And I don't know how we portray diligence. I know it comes through training and our upbringing. It comes through someone encouraging us staying in the right environment. But we all, if any in the Lord's work, there are so many things that happen in the Lord's work that you have to stick to it. Educational program, the brothers, as they talk and speak about the goals that we're trying to accomplish in our educational program, we want the whole church to be knowledgeable of the Bible. Sometimes we have programs that we read through the whole Bible. We read through the whole Bible. We have an education program now where we're trying to study the books of the Bible and go through books and grow the church up. And it takes time to do that, and it takes stick-to-itiveness to do that. And it takes diligence, it takes consistent, persistent effort for that. It doesn't happen overnight. Nobody's not dropping any knowledge in our brains. We have to burn the midnight oil. We have to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And my wife oftentimes, she said, okay, baby, how long you gonna be studying today? I said, baby, I really don't know. She said, well, you don't know. She said, well, how long? I said, well, baby, I don't know. I'm a slow study. I am. I've always been, even in school, it takes me a while for something to stick in my little brain. And I have to read a lot. I read twice, and I read over, and I take notes, and I write notes, and I have to use notes. I use notes in my sermon because that's what I have to do. You know, see, you have to, diligence is not about what talent you have. It's about how much effort you're willing to put in whatever it is you're putting into. If you want to get good results. And sometimes she'll say, well, okay, now it's time you've been studying too long, and it's time for you to come home, and so I have to go home. and so I have to have a balance. But you know, if I get up here and my thoughts are running all over the place and I'm not making sense, she'll be the first to say, you need to study some more. That didn't make sense today, baby. And I said, well, if you leave me alone, I can just notice. See, diligence, it's a decision you make. And you know yourself when you are putting forth the effort into something that you are trying to accomplish. But see, notice the scriptures say diligence makes us rich, not just materially. It enriches our knowledge. It enriches our confidence. There is a wonderful feeling when you know you put in the effort and you put in the time and you start seeing results that comes from diligence. And there's no shortcut to diligence to all of us, whatever age we are. Some of the joys we're not getting out of life because we are not diligent to the task. And don't we wish that there was a shortcut? But some things there are not. Stop looking for the shortcuts. Stop looking for the easy way out. spend the time. And often we have to guard ourselves against distractions and other things that get in our way. And the scripture says to be diligent. Be diligent, and the price, the reward is worth it. The reward is worth it if we give due diligence to the task at hand. He says this in Matthew 24, verse 13, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. May I say this to the saints, to the Christians, especially to soldiers who've been on the battlefield for a long time, for a long time. A long time on this side of earth. And see, to be a child of God, it takes some diligence. Yeah, to be a faithful Christian, it takes some diligence. It takes some persistence. It takes some constant effort. It takes staying on our knees. It takes praying. It takes doing it all. It takes we become creatures of habit, but they are good habits. And the scripture see, you know what? Some of us, that's something we battling in life. We not gonna ever get a full grip on. We're not gonna ever get a full grip on. You know what's gonna happen? You're gonna take it to your grave. You're going to take some things that you are trying to mold, some attitude, some things you are trying to fix in your life. You're going to take it to your grave. Let me give you another point before I sit down this morning. In life, we need to decide right now how we're going to respond to our failures, to our mistakes. To our mistakes, and because aren't we going to make some mistakes in life? Am I in the right crowd this morning? No, I'm going to take it a little step further. You're going to have some, I'm going to call them failures. Yeah, you're going to have some failures. Or this, you know, if I was talking to, this is to all of us, but you know, you like to, you know, to those who are younger, you want to pour more into them. Because you know what you've gone through. And then you know where they're going. Because they're just as green as they can be right now. And they bright-eyed and all the hopes. And you got, you know, scholarships ahead and opportunities and all these doors that are open. And some of us, we just need to pick some to go through. But we know that there's going to be some doors slamming that you're going to face. There are going to be some obstacles. There are going to be some choices that you make that's not going to be the best choice. And you need to decide. And see, this is the advantage of wise counsel from God. See, because some people don't have the advantage of hearing wise counsel before they get in situations. And so now you can say that you at least heard from God how to deal with situations when they come up before they come up. And so when you're going through the situation, you have a choice to make. You can handle the situations. The scripture gives us some examples. You can handle situations like Judas handled them. Some of you don't know who Judas, he was one of Jesus' apostles. He was the one that actually betrayed Jesus. He walked with Jesus for three plus years, and he experienced all the miracles, and he saw Jesus work, and he heard him teach, and it affected him. And at one time, it seemed like he was a faithful man of God. And just slowly you saw the devil deteriorating his life. And he's given in to some of the temptations of life. And it got so bad that he traded Jesus for pieces of money. And that's how life can get. You see a person, you know, and isn't it amazing how we see some of our young people and, boy, he said, boy, where you going to school? And, oh, boy, you really, I'm so proud of you. And they just look fresh and, you know, And boy, look, life get a hold of them later on. And, come on, Gary. And what happened? Well, they're not the first one to go through it. Many of us can testify. Yes, ourselves. we could testify and tell you some things that we do. But what you doing now? Oh, look. Now, you might ought to rethink that one. And Judas, now, this is the way he responded. It's the way he responded in Matthew chapter 27. After he failed God, he failed his Savior, and it hit him. Reality hit him. And the scripture would say in Matthew 27, verse 3, then when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, Jesus is condemned, he felt remorse, and he returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. In other words, he knew he made a mistake, and he's sad, so sad, he's in depression, and he returned, he tried to make things right, and he said, I've sinned by betraying innocent blood. He said, I've sinned. But they said, what is it to us? See that to yourself. And then this is the part that you need to listen closely to. It says that he threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and departed. Oh, can you just get in his mind for a second? That he has betrayed the Savior, and now he sees that they are taking Jesus to crucify him. What have I done? That's some mistakes that we can make. That we absolutely feel there is absolutely no hope. No hope at all because of what we have done. Now the scripture does prophesy that Jesus would be betrayed by one of his own. It does that. And this is fulfilled. But did it prophesy that he would hang himself? He was in control of the decision how he would respond to betraying Jesus. And the scripture would say that he went away and he hanged himself. Yeah. And today that's how some people respond to mistakes and respond to failure. You may have been sitting here right now. You've been at that moment that it was so low you didn't see any hope. Thank the Lord you're still here this morning. Thank the Lord you made the right decision. No, listen, you are in a place where everybody here has already made mistakes. And you need to decide right now, even before you get there, how you are going to respond to failure in your life, because it will happen. It's going to happen. I wish, don't we wish we could go before our kids and help them, help them when they're in them times of mistakes. Yeah, you better help them before that, as best as you can. Yeah, or you can handle your mistakes like David did. David, King David, boy, he was high and had everything. Good king. But good people make mistakes. Yeah, you come from a Christian family, praise the Lord. You come from a church family, thank you, Jesus. You got a great foundation. But you're not insulated from making errors. And sometimes this is the ones that hurt the most. I knew, brother, she did what? Yeah, we're not predicting, we're not trying to justify, we're not trying to pacify, we're not trying to say, yeah, go on and make any mistakes. Not at all. But David made a huge mistake. I don't even know if anybody here would even make this same mistake. But this is what David did. David took another man's wife, took his wife, got her pregnant, killed the woman's husband. Do you plan on doing something like that? Don't you do that. But that's what he did. And he was just going on and on till Prophet Nathan went to him and made him see what he had done. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. See, I hope when you make your mistake that you will listen to somebody.
Amen.
See, something when you don't listen to nobody, we can't nobody call you to the carpet. You always keep somebody that's close to you enough that they're gonna encourage you, but they're gonna tell the truth in love when you're wrong. Because a lot of times it seems like that's the only person we listen to. And you think about that as we go through life, even as we're old, the Lord, and you, when you get so big that you don't listen to nobody, the devil got you definitely in his grip. Listen to what David said in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13. Then David said to Nathan after he'd been confronted. He said the same thing Judas said. See, notice this. See, when you make a mistake, you should feel something. When you don't feel something, that's something showing up something wrong. But he said the same thing. He said, I have sinned. Isn't that what Judas said? I have. It's not enough to say just I've made a mistake. He said, I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said today, the Lord has taken your sin, taken away your sin. You shall not die. See, one of the main differences between Judas and David, it is Judas was talking to himself. Is he was talking to the wrong people. First he went to the religious leader, and he didn't talk to nobody. And David, man of God, confronted David, and David listened to Nathan. And see, the wise counselor gave him what all of us, especially those of us that are Christians in here, would give. See, he's going to tell you what you've done wrong, but there is a way. God will forgive you if you humble yourself before God. Admit your mistake. And don't lay down there and wallow in it all the rest of your life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I could go on and on about a mistake. Some folk in here right now need to get, it's time for us to get up. It's time for us. You've been wallowing too long. It's time for us to realize that God still forgives. Now, there are some things we must do, but God forgives us. You need to forgive yourself and start being what God would have you to be. Amen. Somebody. And then last point is this, is that all things always to God be glory first. All things always, okay, how good, how smart, and how many accommodations that you've gotten and whatever awards that you've received. First Peter chapter 4 and verse number 11, whoever speaks is to do so as the one who's speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as the one who's serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified. Through Christ Jesus, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever, recognize anything that we have is because of the goodness and the grace of God. Yeah, you're not that bright. You're not that smart. You're not that good. We know you study and we know you've applied yourself, but it's only by God's grace. There are a lot of smart folk who are in the grave right now. People who have the talents, who have still not have accomplished the things that they could accomplish. And be sure and give God all the glory for everything that we accomplish. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, Paul told Timothy, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You know, it's a sad thing when we've accomplished a little bit and now we're not scuffling so much. Now we have our own place to stay, and now we got a car that's in our name. Yeah, and we now we buying our own clothes and we looking good and we dressing good, and Lord have mercy. Shame on you if you forget God. We give our money to the United Negro College Fund and your alumni association, and we give pennies to God. I know we wouldn't do that, but I just had to say that all glory. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. I'm a doctor now. I'm a doctor. Now, praise the Lord. Amen. I give glory and honor to God. Well, what are you doing now? I'm living. I got just bought a house. We just closed sign on my house. Praise be to God that we got a house. Use it for a church fellowship sometime. Let us see the inside a little bit every now and then. Amen, somebody. God is good. I don't know about you. We all, as we live our lives, Lord, as we get older, if we can go back and change some things, will we change a few things? Amen. Yes, we would. But you know what? We can't do that. And all we can do is start right where we are. Right where we are. And serve God until we die. As we go along in life, we try to help those that's behind us as much as we can. Notice this message. We said it's for all of us. I hope the graduates, I hope those that are graduating, those that are young, I hope you can pick up these wise jewels from God, because they'll help you in your life. Amen. And help you to have the abundant life, as Jesus said he came that we might have. You hear? You're not a child of God. You need to be. You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that's what we're trying to do every day of our life. If you're here today and you're willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, I tell your neighbor, except unless you repent, you shall also likewise perish. If you're here and you're willing to confess with your mouth what your heart believes, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. If you're willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sin, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:16. And if you are willing to give your life to God until you die, he says in Revelation 2:10, the latter part of that verse, be thou faithful unto death, and he'll give us a crown. And I don't know about you, Lord, but I want my crown. Yes. Anybody want a crown today? Anybody need to come to Jesus today? Would you come? If you're here and you need to have a prayer request, come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.